Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Analysis and opinion so honest, it's just a matter of time before they get themselves in trouble. Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome to Baseball Central for Tuesday, April 21st. I'm Jeff Blair. The man next to me sporting a new set of headphones is Kevin Barkey. You
Hello. Went out
and dropped 15 beans on some new Sony. Some new Sony headphones.
How do you like them? The truth.
No, they look okay. They look okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. I just never can get any that fit or sound right. I can hear Travis yelling at me saying that's the wrong thing to say.
Yeah.
So I have to make sure I can hear all these things.
Yeah. And, you know, we do use communal headphones here, and I've often wondered about the, health
issues. I'm not going to go that far. I just, you know, this is a personal preference kind of thing.
And, it is, yeah.
You know?
I know you're a big person.
I appreciate you noticing. I knew you'd be the first guy to notice these things.
Well,
so I really appreciate it.
And that's my keen reporter's instinct.
Way to go. That'll get you in trouble. Keen reporting will get you in trouble.
Or
get you yelled
bit.
At a bit, a lot.
Only a little bit. We're going to have baseball tonight on Sportsnet 590. The Fan as the Jays get back at it. First of all, before we get into the show, I want to thank all the people who put on the curveball last night.
How much
at
the fun
Rogers
was that?
That was a riot.
It's a lot of fun.
It was for a great cause. A lot of kids, are going to be real happy.
Yeah.
As a result of the funds that were raised last night. So congratulations to everybody who had anything to do with the curveball at the Rogers Center.
I hope I get invited every year.
I hope you do too.
Hint.
Next time, don't lose your lottery ticket though.
I did, didn't I?
You did.
That's horrible. Well, you know, it's for a good cause. I don't care if I lost it. I didn't even want to win anything. I just wanted to do something nice, and it was a great cause, and it was a lot of fun. And
it was a lot.
I got to meet a lot of nice people,
Got to sit next to me,
which is the highlight of my night.
Uh huh. And Sid Sixero.
Yeah. Well, you were more, you know, I think hugging him out. It's sort of like a man crush. You too.
Well, I mean, he's on onwards and upwards to bigger things. You got to hit your wagon to somebody.
You haven't seen him in a while, right?
No, I haven't seen him. No, he's been in Vegas. He's big time now.
Huge.
He's big time.
He didn't even talk to me.
Well,
you know,
all we can do is bask in the afterglow of his brilliance.
Ride the coattails.
Ride the coattails.
Yeah.
Exactly. Anyhow, enough about that. All kidding aside, it was a tremendous night. Met a lot of real good people, had a lot of fun. And it was for a good cause. And everybody seemed to have a good time. So well done to all of those involved in the curveball at the Rogers Center. As I said, we have baseball tonight. Mark Burley on the mound for the Blue Jays against Bud Norris, a right-handed pitcher. Blue Jays Central Live will be on the air at 6:30 with Campbell and Zahn on Sportsnet 1. First pitch will be shortly after 7 p.m. on Sportsnet 590 The Fan with Jerry Howarth, Joe Siddle, Mike Wilner. It'll be also on Sportsnet 1 with Buck Martinez, Pat Tabler, and Barry Davis, and then Mike Wilner will take your calls after the game. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. The Blue Jays 6-7 lost the series to Atlanta. A lot of question marks around this team, Kevin. Health issues, first of all. We should learn today more about the extent of Devin Travis's injury. We know that there was no fracture. John Gibbons said he would be day-to-day. They would wait until today to see if Devin Travis will be in the lineup. Jose Reyes, apparently good enough to go as a right-handed hitter. Don't know how I feel about that necessarily.
I'm not sure either. I wonder about righty on righty, how that's going to go. I know it's a very – I was looking up stats, and I think he's got 27 at-bats against a right-hander. Hitting right-handed, he's not hitting very well, but – I'm sure that's because he doesn't do it a lot, and you know I'm sure it's going to take a little while to get used to it.
And he's claiming that he can play in the field. That essentially his rib injury, and it makes sense, Kevin, knowing where the injury is on the left side. It makes sense that it would be really uncomfortable to bat left-handed because that's where you're putting all your torque is on the left side.
This is where being a veteran, knowing your swing, knowing what you can and can't hit. And basically, when you go up thinking, when I swing at it, I want to put it in play. That means you have to get a good pitch to hit and know what you're doing. This is why you go get veteran guys like Jose Reyes that knows what he can and can't do before he walks up there. That way, when he gets it, he puts a good swing on it, and he gets in and out, so to speak, at the plate and goes and plays good defense and runs the bases well and helps his team win games.
What are you expecting from the Orioles?
I'm expecting attitude. I've been mentioning this from, from day one that they were my pick to win the East just because of the attitude. It's Buck Showalter brings that certain attitude to a game, and you know, it's sort of like we're the big boys on campus. You have to come through us to win the East, and until guys, you know, step up and start acting the way the Orioles act, it's, you know, the Orioles to me are right now, not saying that the Blue Jays are not going to catch up in the next couple weeks or even this series. They could set the tone this series and you know, be right there in the East. But it's more of a fact that, you know, that the Orioles do what nobody else does well. That's catch the ball and pitch the ball most of the time. They catch it all the time. They pitch it sometimes. And they occasionally get the timely hit. I mention this all the time. It's very repetitive what I say about that. But it's true. This is how you win games. This is how you consistently win. And the teams that do it more times than not, they're the teams that win. They're the teams that's going to be there in September. And, you know, it's a good team for the Jays to kind of, you know, repeat after and try to be like just by what they do on the field. They do most of things right. That's why they win games.
Bud Norris, of course, faced the Jays in his first start of the season. Didn't go all that well, if you think back to that. He was chased, I believe, in the fourth inning. He gave up 8 runs and 7 hits on a walk. That was in the Orioles' home opener. Mark Burley on the mound for the Jays. Now, not only does Mark Burley work quickly, not only is he a pretty good pitcher, but, Kevin, he's got Toronto scored at least 12 runs in each of his each of his two starts. I mean, that's some support. That's some offensive support.
Sure it is, but he does those things to get your offense on the field or in the dugout quicker than other guys because he throws strikes. And you know, it's whenever you talk about this team, the Blue Jays, and what they don't do well, it's getting your offense in the dugout quicker.
Mm-hmm.
That means that's the biggest part of your team is scoring runs, and it's a rhythm thing. You know, the more times they get to the plate and the quicker they get to the plate, the more rhythm they're going to have, the better your team's going to be. And Mark Burley does that like no other guy on this team, and I don't see any difference tonight. It's going to be a very intriguing game just because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of side stories with people getting thrown at and attitudes and teams trying to win the East. This is a pretty big series for the Jays, and it's also, I think, a big series for the Orioles because the Orioles just got through playing a pretty good team, too, in the Red Sox. And, you know, I think those three teams, I've said it since we started this show, that the Orioles, the Red Sox, and the Blue Jays are going to be right there all year. And I think this is a big step for the Blue Jays to go in and tell the Orioles, hey, we're here to stay at least until the end of the year.
All right, and conversation with Kevin Barker. It's Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker in Baseball Central. Dalton Pompey, we talked about this yesterday. Dalton Pompey on Sunday, after making that a couple of fairly significant mistakes in the field, coming out and saying that he was playing scared and that he needed to be
right.
More aggressive, return to his aggressive ways, the aggressiveness he showed last year. As a baseball guy, what are you going to be looking for from Dalton Pompey? You know, I spoke to a guy with the organization yesterday, and I can tell you that someone told me there's a fine line between being a stand-up guy and giving away too much.
Sure.
And that so may
you,
have been.
You could say it maybe a little with Daniel Norris, too. You mentioned it.
Yeah, with the dead arm.
Sure, sometimes you not want to give all your cards away.
Yeah. What are you going to be watching for Dalton Pompey?
Demeanor, how he walks on and off the field, how he throws balls around the outfield to guys, how he runs to first, how he takes pitches, how when he swings at a ball, what's his demeanor? How's his face look? I know these little things are not a big deal, but when you're a young guy and you're trying to show off for a manager and a GM and want to be a part of the team and want to be the guy that you count on to play center field every day, you have to be that way. You have to be the guy that looks like he's 40 for 40 when he's 0 for 40.
Mm-hmm.
And until Dalton Pompey can show that on a consistent basis, you know, I think you're going to see some struggles, but the talent's there. You can't question the talent. I just think he needs to refine how he walks on the field, his presence. I know when I was in the big leagues, I first came to the big leagues, I had a problem with that because it's overwhelming. Those are big boys there. They are in the big leagues because they're good, not because they're bad. They can get you out. They can do the small little things to do things to mess with you. They can pitch you backwards. They can do numerous things to get in your head, and that's what veteran pitchers do. They mm-hmm. try to, you know, flip you things to get yourself out. That's what it is. That's what growing pains. It's what you call growing up, and that's what I'm going to be looking for. I'm going to be looking for the little small things, not if he goes 4 for 4.
Right.
How does he handle an 0 for 4 now? Because I'm sure reporters are going to go, if he goes 0 for 8, the first thing a reporter's going to do, stick the mic in his face and say, hey, Dalton, were you scared today?
Mm-hmm.
What's he going to say?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to be looking for. You know, I think he's learned from this, and I don't think we're going to hear this again, and I think he's going to move on, and I think he's going to be a good player.
Yeah, it's I know that the people with the organization, they're going to be watching very carefully to see how and it's not necessarily going to be a numerical-based thing, but they're going to look carefully to see how his body language is, how sure. how he continues to relate both to his teammates and to the media. And, you know, there was something that he said, and in some ways to me it resonates, it touches on what you talked about your experience going to the major leagues. There's something that he said after the game. He said, you know, when I used to watch, this is Dalton Pompey talking, mm-hmm. when I used to go to the games or I used to watch these guys on TV, I used to think they were perfect.
Yeah.
He's talking about major leaguers.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think they were perfect. They were perfect. And, you know, he was using that as a way of explaining how upset he was. And, you know, for a minute there, you put yourself in the position of a 22-year-old kid.
Sure.
And I thought that was really insightful. You know, you, as a ball player, you saw those guys in the majors, and, man, you just thought, those guys can't do any wrong.
No.
You can't do any wrong. Well, you get up here, and you realize that people do make mistakes, but the key with the major leagues, and I think the thing, Kevin, that separates major leaguers from guys who don't have success in the major leagues a lot is just adjustments. I mean, the guys who are in the majors for a long time, they make a mistake, it's okay. How did that happen? Why did it happen? What can I do so it doesn't happen again? It doesn't mean it's not going to happen, but that's your thought process. The thought process is, I'm going to make myself better. How do you make yourself better initially? Well, you correct the mistake in front of you.
100%. This is, we're going to find out what kind of player he is, because it's easier to play when you're hitting the ball well, when you're playing great defense, when you're stealing bases. What kind of player are you when you're not doing any of those things? When you're not doing everything the right way, the way you want to do it, what kind of player are you? What kind of person are you? What kind of clubhouse guy mm-hmm. are you? Managers and GMs look at, because you haven't been in the big leagues very long. They don't have a lot to go on. You don't have a track record. You have to come here and show them that you can do this on an everyday basis. And again, I'm sure Dalton Pompey would have loved to have this back and maybe not have said as much as he did. He said it. It's over. Now you deal with it. Now you go out and show the Jays
mm-hmm.
that you belong here and you should be here and you should be playing every day. And again, I don't see it any other way. I think he's going to take this and run with it and be a great player for the Jays.
Yeah, I think the off day came at a perfect time.
100% for a lot of
people,
for that.
A lot of people around that team. So again, baseball tonight at 7:00 on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Bud Norris, the Baltimore Orioles on the mound against Mark Burley. Blue Jay Central live with Campbell and Zahn. That is at 6:30 p.m. on Sportsnet 1. First pitch just after 7 on Sportsnet 590 The Fan with Jerry Howarth, Joe Siddle, and Mike Wilner. On TV, Sportsnet 1 just after 7 p.m., Buck Martinez, Pat Tabler, and Barry Davis. And then Mike Wilner will take your calls immediately after the game on the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. The Blue Jays start the first of a 3-game series against the Baltimore Orioles. And then it's off on the road for a while.
Yeah, 10 days.
10 days, and then they're back. And the schedule's going to get kind of loopy in the next month because the Jays are out of town during the Pan Am games.
Mm-hmm.
The stadium's going to be used for a few Pan Am events. So there's going to be a lot of fairly lengthy home dates here.
They play well at home.
Yeah, they do. They haven't. This has been one of the strangest home stands I've seen for this team mm-hmm. in some time.
Well, I think you.
But it's early. You know, it's early season, right? You're going to see this. What is it? Guys don't really hit their stride, I don't think, till May, do they? Like hitters and pitchers don't hit their stride.
I don't think so. I think the park has a lot of. You know, it's not an excuse, and coming from a guy that took a lot of batting practice and at the Rogers Center, the ball does carry here. It's very hard to take a approach from your batting practice to mm-hmm. the game because when you go to batting practice, everybody's horsing around. You want to see how far you can hit the ball, and you're hitting it in the fourth deck, and it's so easy to do this here. How do you not take that swing to the game and have a better approach in the game? I think that's one of the things that the Jays are going to have to refine. They're going to have to figure out ways. You know, Joey Votto right now is having a good start,
mm-hmm.
and it's a minor little thing that he's choking up on bats. I'm not saying that's for everybody, but mm-hmm. when you have two strikes and you want to have a great approach and you want to try to go the other way and get a big hit, it refines everything. It makes it easier for you to go point A to point B quicker,
mm-hmm.
and Joey Votto's having a great time at it. You would think an MVP in the National League, a team like the Blue Jays that have great hitters on their team, can do little things like that. Not saying that's what they're going to do, but, you know, I think they need to refine things when they go to the plate. And, again, they need to throw strikes. If they can do these two things, we're going to be having a lot of fun talking about them all season.
Well, you would like to think that tonight's matchup would that Mark Burley might be the guy to right the mm-hmm. ship against the Baltimore Orioles at home. We're just waiting for Rick Dempsey. He's the Baltimore Orioles studio analyst, uncle of Greg Zahn.
Oh, that's right. I thought you meant uncle on him. Why is he not answering the phone?
Uncle, I'm gone. I get it.
Yeah.
See, I see what you did there.
I got you. Yeah. Well, you made fun of my headphones.
So. Well, I didn't really make fun of it. While we wait for Rick Dempsey, you talked a bit about this yesterday. And it's becoming more and more of a storyline in baseball. Kevin, the number of hit batters,
mm-hmm.
that is at the root of what we've seen with the Kansas City Royals this year. They've had 15 batters hit already. When you think about 15, having 15 hit batters already is pretty remarkable. I think the next closest team is like 9.
It is. But I think you're seeing a lot of hitters in the big leagues diving out over the plate,
mm-hmm.
trying to take away the ball away. You see it now. Pitchers come to the Rogers Center, they're pitching the Blue Jays in a certain way because it's hard to elevate the ball away. And these good teams that are figuring out how ways to hit, they're diving out over the plate. And when you do that and guys have to try to establish in, that's how you start to get hit. And, you know, tempers start to flare when guys are getting hit and they're not used to getting thrown in. And when I played, this is part of it.
Yeah,
you got some chin music and then you went down and away with fastballs. That's how you got people out. But nowadays, it's not like that.
Well, it's interesting you say that, too, because I think a lot of times when you see guys getting hit, your initial reaction, and look, if you throw behind a guy, obviously there's intent there, but when you see a lot of batters getting hit, your initial reaction is to focus on the pitchers. But I'll tell you what, I look back last year with Brett Laurie, and there were people around this organization, around the Blue Jays organization, including at least one of his coaches, who told me, you know, part of the problem with some of these guys is they don't know how to get out of the way of a ball.
Yeah, but that too.
And that gets to your point about a lot of them diving across the plate now.
Sure.
This guy was making the point that, you know, you guys always talk about blame the pitchers. So, you know, some of these guys aren't. There's a little bit of sort of self-defense you have to learn.
Yeah, well, again, when you're a hitter, you have to take away one side of the plate because you can't cover the entire plate. It's impossible to try to hit the entire plate. So you take one side away. If I can't hit a ball in, I'm not going to swing at it. So mm-hmm. what am I going to do? I'm going to look away. If that guy goes out or third or on the black, you got to try to swing at it. I'm diving out over the plate, and then a guy busts me in because, you know, they're creatures of habit.
Mm-hmm.
Pitchers know what they're doing. They see guys doing this. They're going to bust you in. That's how you get hit. It's all about approaches. It's about part of the game. But, you know, it's to me, the game's getting a little bit sensitive because this is how you get guys out. This is how you get good hitters out. And pitchers staying around, especially young guys, trying to establish themselves in the mm-hmm. big leagues, and they're trying to say, this is my plate, it's not your plate. This is how you do it. You have to bust guys off the plate again. When I played, this is part of it.
You know, let me ask you this, Kevin. As someone who did play and as someone who played a long time and was a power hitter, how do you get hit by a pitch? What is the right way to get hit by a pitch?
Well, you basically have, like, at all times turn away from the ball, because the hardest part of your body is your back, your buttocks, I guess you say it, your thighs. Mm-hmm. If you get hit in the knee, it's a lot better than getting hit in your face. That's why you know it's always turn away from the baseball. But
and protect your hands at all costs too, right?
Well, that's what you get from turning away from the ball. You always take your front shoulder towards the catcher or towards the umpire when you see the ball coming towards you, because you get your face, your hands, mm-hmm. anything above your waist out of the equation. You're getting hit in the back and the buttocks and the legs. So that's the way I used to do it. I used to think it was a compliment when I get hit, because most pitchers didn't know how to throw you. They were trying to figure ways out to sort of an intimidation thing. That's my plate. Don't crowd the plate. Mm-hmm. Don't step across the plate, things like that. So, you know, I took it a different way when I was a player. But again, like I said, players now, for some reason or not, don't tend to like being thrown in. And it's a no-no now. And it's been this way for 5 or 6, 7, 8 years or 10 years. And I think pitchers are starting to say, well, hey, guess what? The only way I'm going to get you out consistently is I have to throw in. No more of this, nothing, 4 or 5 pitches away. Now you're seeing guys getting hit. And like I said, hitters don't seem to like that. But it's, again, it's like, you know, when you're sliding into second base, you take the second baseman out. Well, that's a no-no anymore. Well, again, when I played, that's how you played. You played the game hard. You played the game the right way. And if you could break up a double play and give that guy behind you an extra at bat to try to drive in a big run, that's how you win games. And, you know, again, the game's changed. It's a little different than when I played and then when you first started in this business. So
we've already had our, as we await Rick Dempsey, we've already kind of had our first managerial rumor out there, Mike Redmond of the Marlins. And of course we know that the Marlins haven't in the past mm-hmm. changed managers as fast as some people change socks, but Mike Redmond, his job may be in jeopardy, which is great considering the fact that I predicted that he would be a finalist for National League Manager of the Year.
Man, stay hot.
Wally Backman might be the guy who takes over for him, which would certainly be a change in character, a change in clubhouse dynamic. But this is kind of interesting. This story got my attention this morning. I found this kind of interesting. The Chicago White Sox. Mm-hmm. Robin Ventura, their manager, has received a quote-unquote vote of confidence from general manager Rick Hahn. Now, this is kind of an interesting story. The White Sox are a team that a lot of people think should go to the playoffs. A lot of people think they're good enough to win the division.
I think their field hurts them.
I think it hurts them a lot. Mm-hmm. But there were a couple of instances on Friday in particular. There was a game in Detroit where Ventura did not ask for a replay review in time on a play at second base. The Tigers ended up getting the game-winning hit. And there seems to be a growing sense of dissatisfaction with Robin Ventura's performance as manager. So there you go. This early in the season, we've got two managers, Robin Ventura, his team is 4-7, and Mike Redmond, who are already in jeopardy. And I think in both those cases, Kevin, that's just reflective of the fact that both those owners and both those fan bases, mm-hmm. both those general managers,
expect to win.
They expected to win this year. They certainly didn't expect to be where they are now.
With the Miami, you say you gave a Giancarlo Stanton the biggest contract ever. There's a lot goes with that. There's a lot you have to when you go on the field, there's a different feel to that game. There's a different feel to your team. You know, you can say what you want about money's what runs everything. Money is, you know, you hate to say it that way, but when you throw in a lot of money to a team, we've seen it with the Jays the last 5 years. You throw in a lot of money to a team, you expect to there's a lot of expectations. There's a lot of things. Managers better do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And then if you're not such a good manager, things start to show up because you're not doing the right thing. And then you have to talk about them more because it's a make or break season. But to me, the White Sox are in a really tough division. Yeah, they would have to have everything go right. Last year, they were one of the worst pitching teams ever in baseball. And all of a sudden this year, people are expecting this team to go to the playoffs and go far in the playoffs. I'm not real sure I'm on board with that. I just think it's, you know, in a year span, I'm not real sure you can add enough pieces to make your team go from really bad, really, really bad to good enough to make the playoffs. I just don't see that happening. And then with the two teams that are above them, you know, I got the Royals winning that thing. It's all about pitching in that in the Central, and I just don't see them pitching enough. And that ballpark it's kind of like the Rogers Center, ball flies there. So it's managers all around baseball that are expected to win that weren't expected to win last year. We're going to be reading a lot more about this because this is what makes the game go around, and somebody's got to be held accountable for it, and it's always usually the manager.
So I'm going to set this up for you. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back. We're going to play a 5-minute, 34-second interview when we come back.
This is something.
Cincinnati Reds. This is Cincinnati Reds manager Brian Price. We'll do this after the break. We're going to play the full interview. It is something else. You do not want to miss this. You've probably heard people talking about it this morning. But we're going to play the whole thing, all 77 F-bombs. And
Travis said there's 11 S words in it.
This is my the writer C. Trent Rosecrans is a friend of mine, and he's actually been in the show. And his description, this is his newspaper article for the out of Milwaukee. What followed was a 5-minute, 34-second expletive filled tirade. The final tally was 77 uses of the F word or a variant and 11 uses of a vulgar term for feces. 2 bovine.
I got you.
1 equine. Bovine is cow, equine is horse.
10-4.
Yeah. So, anyhow, we will replay the whole interview when Baseball Central continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Bum, bum, bum. I want to thank Rick Dempsey for that interview. Baseball Central for, I'm just kidding, Tuesday, April 21st, Jeff Blair, Kevin Barker. So do not want to waste any time. We have a lot of expletive deleted to get to. I'm going to set the stage for this because you probably heard guys talking about it. I know Team Blundell and Company were having fun with this, and pretty much everybody across the United States is having fun with it in Canada. So let me set this up for you. It's Cincinnati Reds manager Brian Price. His pregame meeting with the media, and usually the people in these meetings are beat reporters covering the team, sometimes columnists, the club broadcasters are in there, the club play-by-play guy, in this case Marty Brenneman. He usually comes in, waits till the end of the interview, then he does an interview one-on-one with the manager, which airs during the pregame show just before the start of the baseball game. Now, so that's the scene. Okay, the Reds are in Milwaukee. They're in the visiting manager's office. Visiting manager's office is always smaller than the home team manager's office. Devin Mesoraco, as you well know, is the Cincinnati Reds all-star catcher. There were reports, accurate reports, that Mesoraco was not with the team for Sunday's game in St. Louis. And, of course, the Cincinnati media reported this. Now, as a result of that, Brian Price went off. And the reporters in question, they're C. Trent Rosecrans of the Cincinnati Inquirer. Well, he kind of started the he kind of started the whole thing, and it's odd because Brian Price, the manager of the Reds, actually asked him the first question. There are 10 reporters in the room. There are 10, and there are television crews as well. Price is sitting down with his pregame interview with Fox Sports Ohio. He's asked about Devin Mesoraco. He says, well, obviously he's not here. We broke that story last night, apparently, Price said. All right? The Inquirer had reported after Sunday's game that Mesoraco was not available for pinch hitting duties in the Reds' 2-1 loss in St. Louis. All right. Price is asked, was Mesoraco a consideration in that spot? He said he was not. Okay, well, then it turns out, as we find out in the interview the next day with Fox Sports Ohio, the reason Mesoraco was not available is because he wasn't with the team. Anyhow, so that sets that up. Manager's office in Milwaukee before the game. This is Brian Price. The first voice you're going to hear is Brian Price, the Cincinnati Reds manager. Second voice is C. Trent Rosecrans, the Cincinnati Inquirer's reporter. And actually, I'm reading the transcript here, but our tape has Trent Rosecrans's. Okay, our tape has Trent Rosecrans. The way this actually starts is Brian Price of the Reds asking the reporter if I can ask you a question. That's how it starts here in the transcript. Anyhow, Brian Price, C. Trent Rosecrans of the Cincinnati Inquirer. This is in the manager's office in Milwaukee, visiting manager's office before the game. Roll the tape.
So you expect him back tomorrow?
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I don't understand what the importance is for everybody to know if we have a player that's not here. We don't benefit at all from the other teams knowing that we don't have a player.
Dumbass.
It does. You don't have to be a Reds fan.
Seriously.
But it doesn't help us if our opponents know who's here and who isn't. That's what I want to know.
Well, as a fan, I'm wondering, well, here's a spot for Devin Mesoraco. Why isn't he here?
Where was the spot?
Mm-hmm. It's a pinch hitter. I mean, he's an all-star with 25 home runs mm-hmm. last year. He hits. I asked if it was a left-handed bat thing. You said no.
Here we go.
I don't get it. You know, look, I don't need you guys to be fans of the Reds. I just need to know that if there's something that we want to keep here, that it stays here. We don't need to know that Tucker Barnhart's in the airport when we haven't spoken to Kyle Skipworth. I think we owe that kid the right to be called and told that he's going to be sent down, as opposed to reading that Tucker Barnhart's on his way from Louisville. I don't get it. I don't get why it's got to be this way. Has it always been this way?
Yes.
Where we just tell everybody everything? So
pretty much
every opponent that we have has to know exactly what we have.
Scouting reports,
which
moron.
Relievers are available, which guys are here and which guys aren't here, when they can play, what they can do. It's nobody's business. It's certainly not the opponent's business.
It's the big leagues.
We've got to deal with this. I'd like to talk, and I have spoken as candidly as I can with you people. If that's
reporters.
Not good enough, I won't say a thing. I'll go yes, sir, no, sir. And I can do that. But I've been as candid as I can be about this team and our players, and we got to deal with this. Every team that we play has to know every guy that's here and what they can and can't do. Me. It's a disgrace. I'm sick of this. It's hard enough to win here to have every opponent know exactly what we bring to the table.
Scouting reports.
Day.
God, man.
I don't like it. That's what I'm saying. Make it very clear. I don't like the way that this is going at all. I don't like it. I don't think you guys need to know everything.
Does he like it?
And I certainly don't think that you need to see something and tweet it out there and make it a world event. How do we benefit from them knowing that we don't have Devin Mesoraco?
Say it.
How do we benefit from that?
Scouting
they benefit
report.
From it. I just want to know how we benefit from these people knowing that we don't have a player here. Can you answer that? How is that good for the Reds?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's making my job harder.
I'm sure it is.
Well, thank you. I just don't know if that's what we're supposed to do. Are we supposed to open up everything here for everybody to know all the time? So that's all I want to know, what your expectations are, because if I tell these guys we got to go out there and they know we don't have Devin Mesoraco, what benefit is that to me as a manager and our team to win a game?
He hasn't been there for a week and a half.
I just want an answer on how we benefit from them knowing that Devin Mesoraco isn't here.
I don't think you do, and I don't know that that's my job.
Your job isn't to sniff out every little thing that is about the Reds and put it out there for every other guy to hear. It's not your job.
It actually is.
You want me to be candid with you? I've been candid with you. I talk to you guys like men. I tell you what's going on with the team. I tell you how I'm feeling about it as candidly as I can. And then this
pretty candid right
gotta
now.
Watch this.
Yeah.
I got to read out on a tweet from our own people in here that we don't have a player. How does that benefit the Reds? doesn't benefit us one bit. We try to go out there and win games. I got to come in here and then you guys blow it all over the place. Who we can play, who we can't. I'll tell you what I want you to know. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't tell you.
I appreciate it. You did not lie to me, and I appreciate it.
He appreciates it.
I'm up a rope. Because everyone has to know everything all the time. And that's not my obligation. It's not their obligation. You know why Billy Hamilton didn't play the other day? Because fingers hurt. He couldn't hit right-handed comfortably. Right? So that's something that I need to know and no one else needs to know. No one else needs to know it. And all of a sudden it's out there. Fingers are sore. It doesn't benefit us. It wasn't from you.
I hate sore fingers.
But it doesn't benefit us.
Can't
one
type
bit
with them.
To announce the other teams that were playing to bring in lefties whenever they need to get Billy out. It's no benefit. So I'll be honest with you. I'm sick of this.
He's tired,
sick of listening to this. I'm sick of the second guessing. You guys can do whatever you want. But I'll tell you this. I'm not going to tell you everything about this club because you guys are going to go out there and sniff it out anyway. I don't like it one bit. Bend over backwards, be honest and direct with you guys, and you stick it right up my and the team. I'm sick of it.
Man.
What do you got? If you don't got anything, then get out and I'll do this interview with Marty. If you don't have anything, just get out.
That Cincinnati Reds manager, Brian Price, in a pregame scrum. The Marty that he's referring to is Hall of Fame broadcaster Marty Brenneman. And I know Marty Brenneman. I'm sure Marty's just sitting there next to the manager's.
Yes.
Next to the manager's desk. That, by the way, is tremendous. Until this particular rant, the gold standard for managerial rants was Lee Elia's rant.
Yeah.
And we happen to have that. Let's play. This was until Brian Price went off. This was the gold standard. Play this.
All these motherfucking editorials about Say and the Philly-itis and all that is sickening. It's unbelievable. It really is. It's a disheartening situation we're in right now. 5-14 doesn't negate all that work. Got 143 games left. What I'm trying to say is don't rip them guys out there. Rip me. If you want to rip somebody, rip my head. But don't rip them guys because they're giving everything they can give. But once we hit that groove, it'll flow. And it will flow. The talent's there. I don't know how to make it any clearer to you. I'm frustrated. I'll guarantee you I'm frustrated. It'd be different if I walked in this room every day at 8:30 and saw a bunch of guys that didn't give a shit. They give a shit, and it's a tough National League East. It's a tough National League, period.
That is Lee Elia. And that was until Brian Price's.
Have you ever heard a manager do this when they're winning? No.
Well, I mean, I did deal with Jim Fregosi a fair amount. I can tell you that not this Fregosi wouldn't take it to this level, but that is remarkable. By the way, I want to credit the Louisville Courier. Courier Express, is it? Louisville Courier. Courier Journal. Close. We'll get it right eventually. Louisville Courier Journal for that that audio. Again, that is Cincinnati Reds manager Brian Price venting at Cincinnati Inquirer writer C. Trent Rosecrans. The Reds sent out an apology today, or rather Brian Price did. This is on Twitter, on the Cincinnati Reds official account. In my pregame conversation with reporters yesterday, I used wholly inappropriate language to describe the media coverage of our team. While I stand by the content of my message, I am sorry for the choice of words. And the first reply under that is from some guy named Tim Rogers. LOL, you think? In my pregame conversation with the Portage yesterday, I used wholly inappropriate language. There you go. That's going to be legendary. People are going to be replaying Brian Price's frustration. I mean, that's going to be replayed ever.
Well, you think, you know, sometimes you say players can talk themselves out of things. Can a manager talk his way out of being a manager?
Sometimes
you got to lead by example.
You know, the Reds are kind of in a they're in a bad situation. I mean, they got Johnny Cueto. He's walking as a free agent. Everybody knows that. The team has had a difficult time staying healthy. I don't think, I got to tell you, I don't think Brian Price survives this. He was already under the microscope. This is only going to put it.
Hey, a lot of this stuff may have been true that he was saying, but it's how you say it. You're professional. When you get to that level, you're professional. People are listening all the time, regardless of what you think. They're not, they are. And when you say things like this, and especially, you know, I think about kids. You know, kids have listened to this, and kids look up to Brian Price, and they look up to the Cincinnati Reds, and that's who, you know, you want to set a good example. You want to be a role model for, yeah, I get it. You're mad. You're mad because you're losing. You're mad because your team's not doing well. You're mad because somebody said something. Okay. Don't say it like this. Be a pro. Say, hey, I'm not happy. I don't like you. I'm not talking to you anymore. And be done with it.
There's a couple of, and by the way, David Amber on Twitter asked me, what about the infamous Hal McCray tirade? Yeah, that was, we didn't play that because you need the visuals there. You need to see Hal McCray firing the phone at poor old Alan Eskew. You need to see it on TV. Radio, it's you know, a guy going nuts. But David, so we did think about it when we were going in. The Lee Elia thing was just, it was just legendary because of the time. And here's the thing. Looking at what Brian Price said, I mean, obviously the media's job is to report the day-to-day news around the team. Now, everybody accepts it's fair game that every now and then organizations, they don't necessarily lie, but they kind of fudge the facts, or sometimes they just, you know, they just kind of
tell you.
They string a line of BS. Sure, yeah, sure. There's give and take, and everybody, you know, everybody plays that game. And Brian Price is right. If you think you got something, the manager doesn't tell you, you know what you do? You go to talk to the player. You go to talk to the GM. But here's where Brian Price is wrong. It's very simple, and it happens all the time. What you do is you say, you know, look, and God love him, Jim Fregosi. I mean, a lot of the managers I've dealt with were really good. Fregosi, John Gibbons is good at this. Felipe Alou is good. Here, they'll go, this is what the situation is. I'm telling you this so you have it. I don't want you to write it. And I'll give you a perfect example of how it happened to me. I don't want you to write it, but this is what the situation is. This is the truth. This is what's going on here. I don't want my name attached to it. You use it how you feel you could use it. Covering the Montreal Expos. As a matter of fact, they're playing the Cincinnati Reds. Mel Rojas was the Expos closer. Mel Rojas is sick. Felipe Alou doesn't want the Reds to know that Mel Rojas is sick. So Felipe Alou says to me, he said, don't write this, but I'm telling you, if we have a save situation tonight, you won't see Rojas in the game because he's ill. He's not even here. I go, okay, that's cool. And I'm not going to write it. If it doesn't come up, of course, guess what happens? Safe situation comes up. Mel Rojas isn't there. Felipe gets ripped on the radio by the couple of the play-by-play guys. Dave Van Horn actually knew about it, but a couple of other guys are ripping him. He got ripped in print. I didn't write anything in the first edition story. You know, you write it, you send it, and then you go down to ask the manager. So a couple of the other writers really questioned what the hell Felipe was doing in their first edition stories. Of course, then they go down and find out that the reason he didn't use Mel Rojas is because Mel Rojas is sick. Now you feel like a jackass, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, I'm gold because I haven't mentioned it.
Right.
And that, you get stuff like that when you know a manager in the day-to-day basis. It's not always the stuff you write, but it's the stuff you know in the back of your head so you don't write other stuff.
Right. Hey, I say, this is what I say about this. Chemistry, we always talk about chemistry on a team, should matter. How's the chemistry in this locker room now? It starts with your leader. What your leader says, how he approaches every day, obligations. This to me is one of those situations where you have to, and I'll mention this. I think in the offseason, Todd Frazier, which is a great player for the Cincinnati Reds, sort of said the chemistry in the clubhouse is not what it used to be. Well, I don't think this is just a coincidence that this happened. And I just, you would hope for Brian Price's sake that this never happens again and he can go further. But I'm not real sure he can overcome this. I think
it's a sign of an unhealthy
chemistry matters situation. Is what I'm trying to say.
And it's a sign of an unhealthy situation.
100%.
And I'll tell you what, players follow the lead of the manager, and it's not always just the manager's words. It's the body language, is how the manager deals with people. That's why guys have been around the game for a long time. The great managers. What's the one thing they do? What's the one thing Joe Torre did as well, if not better than anybody?
Just Bruce Bochy. Yep. Another example.
Just crisis. Hey, what crisis? Anyhow, right. That's it for us today. Baseball Central will be back tomorrow. Lots of hockey tonight. Don't forget as well, Jays Orioles. 7 o'clock first pitch on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. It's also on Sportsnet 1. Pregame show with Campbell and Zahn on Sportsnet 1. Have a great day, everybody.